What's happening, RSL Nation? It's been a good-ish week.
Like 2 weeks, I think.
Oh, it's been a couple of weeks. I don't think it's been a couple of weeks.
It's been like, I think, 2 weeks since we technically spoke.
We sound different, but it hasn't been a couple of weeks.
We literally had a whole week of us not playing, well, so it's been
Can I just
tell them who's talking to them.
Can I finish my intro?
Yes, tell them who we are. And our relationship to them.
I'm just going to restart, okay?
No, we're too far ahead.
What's happening, RSL Nation? It's your boys, Adele and
the Baker,
with another Scarf Live podcast. The Baker, how you doing, baby?
It's good, man. I feel rested and refreshed. The last time we spoke to the good folks was just after the Sounders game, I believe.
A day after.
A day after your, yeah.
It was a day after the Sounders game. Yeah.
So I think we were a little tired looking back at that episode.
Why were we tired?
Well, we like stayed up until like 5 a.m.
Well, we were both in Seattle.
Well, yeah. They know that.
You can't assume that.
You can assume that the 10 people tuning in weekly.
I will bet you 4 of them do not know that.
I don't know.
So the Baker lives in Seattle. I was visiting Seattle. We went to the away game.
Right.
Great away game. Everywhere outside of the actual what happened in the field.
Right.
But we were beyond that.
And since then, we have had a home opener, which we talked a little bit about. And then we had a whole bye week. So it has been some time.
This is, correct me if I'm wrong, the earliest bye week I can remember.
Yeah.
Games and a bye week? Three games.
Well, yeah. It's not really the time you want to be getting that bye week. You know, like right before the playoffs would have been nice. But what are you going to do?
Yeah. And so I think before the season opener, you and I talked.
As we do.
And I said, if after the first 3 games,
mm-hmm.
2 away, 1 home, I would expect us to have 3 points. If we have more than 3 points, we're overachieving. 3 games in, we have 3 points. It just wasn't the point or the game. I thought we would get 3 points. I'm a little disappointed. How are you feeling about that last game?
Yeah. So I had the luxury of being at the game, which was great, and we'll talk a little bit about that.
Touchette.
Atmosphere. I mean, it's okay to be sick. Like you are still human. Like you might want to drink something that doesn't have hops in it one of these days. I'll just throw that out there as a word of advice. The actual, like, you know, it's the home opener. It's always like special. Like it's just a good game. Like the context makes it a good game, but unfortunately, our game wasn't very good as a team.
Yeah.
I'm not what I think anybody would describe as like an athletic person. You know, I've got a lot of strengths, but
I agree with the first sentiment.
Sportsmanship isn't on that list. I remember thinking and watching like Austin play, and specifically their attack in relation to our defensive midfield. And I definitely have one of those thoughts where it's like, I'm pretty sure I could get a shot on goal against these dudes. Like I'm fairly confident that if you give me that much time and space on the ball, I can also put it on frame with power. That's not what you want your fans to be thinking at the home opener.
Yeah. Also, who would have thought the desired number 9 we have been looking for has been wearing number 15 in our team the whole time?
Yeah, that took me like way longer to catch up on. Yeah. Justin Glad is our all-time leading goal scorer this season.
All-time leading goal scorer.
Yeah, yes. He got on the board. He made it respectable. Which, happy for him, doesn't bode well for us. Let's just nope. get that out of the way.
No.
No. It's like, hey, attacking group, just go find the set. Like, and ultimately, that's what you want out of your center backs. Like, Walker Zimmerman has made a career of being, let's just call it what it is, a mediocre center back right. who's dangerous in the air. So, like, nothing wrong with that. It'd just be nice.
I mean, what's his name? Sergio, PSG guy, used to play for Madrid and Spain.
Oh, yeah.
Ramos. Yeah. Sergio Ramos. I mean,
well, he's also like a pretty bad dude in defense.
Right, but everyone remembers him for his goals in games. So yeah, it is. I agree with you. It does not bode well for us to right. say our leading scorer. Or at least tied. Is it tied or is he actually
leading? No, he's scorer? The leading goal scorer. Because we haven't scored all that much, if you recall.
Yeah, we have not. So I'll say this. We did not look good against Austin at all in any way, shape, or form. I don't even know where to put the blame. But at the end of the day, we need to be better at putting the ball on frame.
With power.
More consistently. That's all there is.
Yeah, the attack. The attack. It turns out that whole us wanting a number nine to like go score goals necessary.
Yeah,
area of need, if you will.
Also, turns out that's what everyone else is expecting in the league right now. Mm. May I say something?
You may. It is half of your podcast.
This is going to hurt my soul to say.
Yeah.
So far, and remember, we're very, very early on.
Yep.
I have been very disappointed with the actual production and output of Savarino.
Oh, I was just going to say the team as a whole.
Well,
sure. But we can call out specific dudes. I'm fine with that.
I'm calling out specific dudes.
Yeah, no. And before we do that.
There's a second one that will hurt even more.
Yeah, I mean, like. You know, it's probably the guy that just came back from like a very serious injury.
Yeah.
No, like I think the team as a whole has maybe put together across, you know, 270 minutes of like soccer this season, maybe a solid 35 minute stretch of like good, attractive attacking soccer.
I would say 45. It was the second 45 against Vancouver.
I don't even think we were all that great for the full 45. I think there was like...
Well, okay, let me say this. It's one side or the other side's better. There was a 45 minutes this season. We were better than the opponent.
Okay, yes. But if Vancouver wasn't terrible, we would have lost that game too. Okay, fair. Yeah, man. I think Savarino definitely has had a few moments of like individual... like. Brilliance that we like to call out. He created a few assists, like
he had a few really good creative attempted shots that were blocked shots.
Sure.
Yeah, I just expected more.
But he did set up a lot of the attack in that Vancouver game. It's the one kind of, you know, while we're talking about specific dudes, the one kind of dude who I'm suddenly like very relieved from the last time we talked about was Gomez.
Mm.
There was a dude that like, okay, so I'm going to do like a little Small Lake City story here.
Uh-huh.
I work with a dude who is friends with somebody who, they're not a scout for Real Salt Lake, but they do like scouting for footy, primarily women's soccer. Very connected.
A talent recognition professional.
Yeah, a scout.
I like mine better.
Yeah, so, and this person has like connections in Colombia. And my buddy, my coworker, asked about Gomez. And apparently, very well known, and this is a quote, head case.
Okay.
He's one of those dudes where, like, if the confidence isn't there, or if, like, the first 20 minutes aren't going well, apparently he's not going to have a good game. Like, it's like a known thing about him, which I didn't know before this conversation. And candidly, you know, like, full disclosure, I also don't know if it's 100% true, right? I've got no reason to believe this guy's lying. But anyway, there was that story.
We're talking third degree.
Right. Friend of a friend's cousin who spent some time in Colombia. At best. Right. Yeah. But it's an interesting talking point, so we're going to act as if it's true. And therefore, him finally playing at home in front of fans that had his back and not like a hostile, you know, a hostile crowd, also being the same game where I feel like he finally like showed promise and was very creative in the attack and generated a bunch of opportunities, wasn't a coincidence. Like, he was a dude that I was finally like, oh, okay, he can ball. I'm not that worried anymore.
Yeah.
Because the two games prior, I was worried.
I wasn't too much. And I'll tell you why. Sure, I did not know this story, obviously. But you can tell when a new player touches the ball 3-4 times if he has the
panache,
the technical skill set.
Just say panache.
I was going to go with pizzazz.
No, that's not a thing. Panache is a thing.
Pizzazz. He's got it. If
you didn't know that this was a podcast run by a bunch of dudes whose first language wasn't English,
pizzazz.
You just learned it now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I was never worried about that, but that part does worry me. Here's what... So I was never worried about him, to be honest. Thought he showed promise. It's going to be okay. And here's the thing that calms me down. I don't think he's a guy that needs to carry a big responsibility role. He just needs to play.
I mean, our like highest ever transfer fee. I think he's got some expectations there.
No, I'm not saying he shouldn't play the best. I'm saying he doesn't have to carry that responsibility role of some kind of calmness or maturity, because I think we have other guys that can do that. We have Damir,
who today just got a contract extension.
Yep, we'll talk about it in a second. We have Savarino. I mean, hell, there are plenty of guys on the team that can be the quote-unquote adult. If he can just spend all of his energy and time displaying his skill sets, I will be okay with that and just leave it at that. I have no problem with that. I don't think he was a problem in any of the non-positive results we have had over the last two games. Thought he displayed plenty of promise. I think we're in good shape there. I don't think he is the problem in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's the problem. I just thought the first couple games were like a little problematic. But yeah, I don't. You know, I'm not gonna like throw in the towel on a dude 3 games into the season.
Well, speaking of 3 years into the season, so there has been. There's only one perfect team in the league right now.
And we're playing them next.
And they are going to be in historic Sandy.
Yeah.
This Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah. For what should be a very cold game.
Yes.
Maybe that helps.
Maybe.
We tend to do well in snow games. Right?
The two I can think of.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking proper snow games, not like
right. There's a little I'm bit expecting of snow. A proper snow game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the
we're going to get dumped on.
The forecast is already. Well, I hope we only get dumped on by Mother Nature and not St. Louis in this game. I'm genuinely excited. I think a lot of these players on that team, and I know they have histories. Some of them have histories playing in other teams. In the MLS, playing in Salt Lake City in March when it's snowing is a different animal.
It's the MLS version of can you do it on a cold, rainy night in Stoke?
That's what it is, exactly.
Yeah.
what do you think the chances are of getting the Orange Bowl out?
Like really high.
Yeah.
Yeah, like insanely high.
So here's my worry. And I don't know all the names. I think you have them handy somewhere.
What names? Oh, yeah.
But I do think...
everyone and their mother's out.
This is one of those... and I think we'll have more of these this year, as we have, obviously, an international break this weekend. And I don't even want to touch the fact or argue the fact that MLS does not take a break during international
breaks. Yeah, we didn't really have an international break. We had a bye week. Exactly. There's technically a difference.
But there's another international break this weekend.
Right, which we will not be.
Everyone else has it, yeah. As far as every other league.
Actually, did you hear? You know how like the Premier League's like not playing for like basically a month. The EPL.
I didn't know it was a month, but I know they're off during international breaks.
Well, not just that. So there's obviously international break right now, but because like every like third player is Muslim, they're actually taking like Ramadan off.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's like a whole thing. I thought it was kind of cool.
Okay, I don't know about that.
Anyway, I thought it was interesting.
It is definitely interesting. So interesting, I had no idea what was happening. But so the next couple of games are, you know, this is where you want to catch the strong teams. I was looking into who St. Louis is missing, and they weren't missing all that much. It was like two or three players, right? Because it makes sense. It's a brand new team. But I really think, remember last year and the year before and the year before and the year before and every freaking year since 2005, you always think back in September or October and you're 2-3, sometimes 1 point shy of making the playoffs or having a home field advantage in the playoffs.
Right.
And it's usually 1, 2, 3 points. I really think this is RSL's chance to kind of jump on it, get a few points, even 1 point, so we don't have to regret it later in the year. I do not think St. Louis can keep this pace up. I watched two of their three games. Don't get me wrong, they're good. They're not as good as perfect record, 3 out of 3.
I mean,
and we might as well be the four. Ones.
They played four.
Is it 4 out of 4?
Yeah, because they didn't have a bye week. Also, I don't know where I got the thing about the EPL. It's definitely not true.
Okay, all right. So you just literally made that
I up. Definitely read it somewhere.
You heard it here first.
Yeah.
All right, QAnon. Okay, what else do you have for us?
Okay, so here's actually St. Louis. Austin,
yep.
Away. They ended up beating them like at the death, 3-2. Great game.
Yeah.
They destroyed Charlotte at home, 3-1.
Yep.
They then went to Portland, beat Portland 2-1. And Portland, like candidly, is not great. Then they go back to their home and they defeat San Jose, if you will, 3-0. So, like, I don't think, to your point, they've like beat some of like the most powerful teams, but like Austin at home for their home opener, like that's no small task. I can't say I'm super familiar with Charlotte. I think both Portland and San Jose this year are not like great teams, so I think it makes sense.
I watched the Portland game in depth. No, they were not that much better than Portland.
And Portland's like hurt right now too, so. Yeah.
I don't know if there was luck. I mean, look, luck or fortune favors the bold, as they say. They did not outplay Portland. I really think we can beat them at home this weekend.
Yeah, for sure.
And here's what I think is going to take for us to beat them at home this weekend. We need two people to wake up. Savarino and Krylak. Wake up. Do they realize we're going to the fourth game of the year? I know Demir scored a goal. I know Savarino had a couple of assists. They just, at some point, remember, I used to talk about this a few years ago on our podcast all the time, which is crunch time, you need your DPs to step up. And actually do something. And that's what it is. That's why I think Seattle won two of the last three cups. right? Because they had Lodeiro.
Yeah, yeah. Step they're, up. They're, I mean, also Rui Diaz is like
Rui Diaz animal. Is not bad. Yep, yeah. Yep, yep. That's why they're not going to win one this year, because their primary player is Albert Rusnak.
I mean, they're off to a pretty good start
this year. Yeah, they're not bad. But that's not the point. I really think for us, I don't even honestly think result is almost secondary to me.
No, we have to get 3 points this weekend.
That's why I said almost. I would love to. I don't think we have to get 3 points.
I mean, yeah.
I need to see serious production. And by serious production, I mean goals.
Right, yeah. From somebody other than Justin Glad.
Good point.
Yeah.
I need goals from Demir. And I need goals
from
Severino this weekend. And it's going to be an ugly,
ugly game. Yeah. I'm gonna,
in the snow.
I'm going to hot take it right now. I'm actually prepared to go so far as to say, if Justin Glad scores again, I will not be celebrating.
Oh, wow.
I'm over it.
No.
I will not be celebrating any Justin Glad goals this weekend. I'm on a hot take right there. So you're
going to be one of 19, well, probably 14,000
this weekend. By the time the game is actually like getting ready to end, it'll be like me, you, and like,
yeah,
you know, the grounds crew.
Yeah, exactly.
So you mentioned,
and one of us three will have our shirts off.
Hey-o. You mentioned Severino a couple times now by name,
yeah,
which is actually a really good transition for the player availability report.
Yeah,
which we usually like don't do like a player availability report unless like a notable person's out. So it being the international window,
yeah,
a bunch of dudes were called up initially.
Yep,
one of them was Jefferson Severino.
Yeah,
and then like a week ago, Trey Fitzgerald, the RSL dude. He does like a
social media guy.
Well, he's not the social media guy, but you know what I mean.
Used to be.
Hand him out, Trey. That's where I know. I know he's the guy that hands him out. He did like
he was in media relations at RSL at one point.
Good dude. Anyway, he retweeted this thing where it was like great news for us, and it was like Jefferson Severino will be replaced on the Venezuelan national team by somebody due to like personal reasons or something, is how they phrased it.
Yeah.
Anyway, fast forward a few days, i.e. today, the player availability report comes out. Turns out Jefferson is one of several very important players who are currently listed as questionable with apparently a calf injury. Mm. That does not bode well for us. Like right out of the gate, he is one of our more important players on the field. On international duty, Rubio Rubin is with Guatemala. Ojeda is with Paraguay. Luna is with the under-20 U.S. men's national team. That Beavers kid is with the under-19 U.S. national team. The guys that are like 100% out are Farnsworth, Kai, and Hidalgo. So like no huge losses there. But then the other dudes listed as questionable is Silva with a hamstring injury, Holt with an Achilles injury, Oviedo with a calf injury, that dude we signed from FC or LAFC, that Mazowski dude, the forward, he's out with an ankle injury, and apparently Loffelshend is out with a quote-unquote illness.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Loffelshend and Ojeda.
Big losses.
Trouble me quite a bit.
Severino, if actually isn't playing. Once again, questionable and out, not the same thing.
Totally different things.
But definitely not great.
So, yeah.
Also, Silva and Holt both being questionable means
Listen, questionable doesn't mean a whole lot. I remember...
It can mean a lot of different things. I wouldn't say it doesn't mean a whole lot. It could be really bad.
I can't remember which player this was, but I remember reading a story about this player about a couple of years ago, 3, 4, 5 years ago, something like that, where this guy was questionable.
Mm-hmm.
For something like 3 straight seasons every game.
Okay, why are you exaggerating?
Well, I said, I can't remember the exact.
Yeah, you can't remember the exact details. Making fun of me out here for making up storylines about.
No, it literally was for years, though.
It was literally not for years.
Oh, we got to look this up and post it. So questionable always is weird to me. Like everyone's questionable. I think every single player on the roster 3-4 days ahead of the game, 2-3 days ahead of the game, should be questionable. Yes, I could get in a car accident tonight. Now I'm questionable.
That's not what questionable means.
I could get into a skiing accident. I'm questionable.
That's not questionable.
Maybe I have a little sniffle in my nose.
That's actually questionable.
And
that's
now the questionable.
First, that's the first example that you just gave that actually meets the criteria of questionable.
You can get rid of that very quickly. Like, everyone is questionable.
No, questionable. Literally not everyone is questionable.
Absolutely. I disagree with this. Questionable, everyone is questionable.
No. Just, there is a set definition of questionable.
No, that everyone, then you can put everyone on questionable. I think questionable means available. That's all there is to it.
I guarantee you, of the dudes that are questionable, some of them will not be available.
Well, I hope it's not Severino.
Yeah.
Okay. I hope it's... Ojeda is out, did you say, or is he questionable? Ojeda is the one I really... like. Severino, Ojeda...
like, out. Oh, he's out. Yeah, he's on international duty.
That one's going to hurt. Mm-hmm. That one's going to hurt a lot, actually. And I think as far as I saw, St. Louis only has about 2 or 3 guys out due to international.
Yeah, they're like not very deep at center back at the moment themselves.
Yeah,
like they're kind of hurting a bit.
They have a couple of injuries in the back four, is what I read. But look, at the end of the day, here's what it is, and this happened to us last year. This happened to us a couple of years ago. When some of these assumed starters, which I think in Real Salt Lake, we only have about 2 or 3, maybe 4 assumed starters. When some of those are out, it just creates the opportunity for others to step up.
Right. I mean...
I will not take this as an excuse.
Well, there are some silver linings, one of which is that Ruiz, in theory, should be like back with the team and like have all his green card stuff solved, yeah. So like he could probably start. And then that that Vera dude that we signed, that like left back, that Tam,
yeah,
like he is also with the club and has been training, so like in theory he could play in the back if need be.
Yeah, and this could be a perfect opportunity for us to play against a team that hasn't lost. Anyways, either way, look, I'm very excited. I know it's not our home opener, but it is my home opener.
Yeah, dude, you missed a hell of a party. I'll leave it at that.
How was
safe standing?
Safe standing.
Okay. So I looked over at 35, and they looked like they were having fun over there. I'm not saying we didn't have
by
fun.
By 35, you mean section 35.
Section 35, where we came from.
Sitting on the south end.
Yes.
In GA.
Yeah.
And you're looking at section 35.
Yeah. I'm kind of hoping it was just like the first game jitters. If you thought section 35 was like bad at being like all on the same chant page, the south end was terrifying, dude.
Oh, it was worse.
I was shocked. So like Barra Real... very organized. They were all on the same page and they were loud and passionate and it was awesome. But then like on either side of them, dudes would start a chant and then another homie would start that same chant like 5 seconds later. And we just, it was bad. Maybe it was like where I was standing. We were more like section 10, like to the right. But it was rough. It was rough. And then also turning around to go look at the board for like the really important replays took some getting used to. I'm hoping it's all things that will be resolved as the season progresses. But the south end was kind of a weird vibe for match day one, or the first home game, I should say.
Interesting.
Yeah. Now I'm kind of curious to see how you're going to feel about it after you experience it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's you know, we've had the same problem for north of a decade, I would say. And okay, if anyone wants to Google me, I'm sure they can find us speaking about this. Or me speaking about this. I do not understand the cockiness or necessity to like impose your will as a supporter on other supporters. Like it seems like there's almost like a, oh, this is my chant and we have to do it my way. And it's always been weird to me.
It got kind of political there for a while.
I don't understand why.
Because everyone, you know, like, I mean, that's, I don't, it's a really broad subject with like a lot of talking points that deserves probably quite candidly, if we're going to be honest, its own episode in the off season
or two. Yeah.
But like, I, you know, ultimately I think these people are very passionate, and very passionate people tend to not give up control of things easily. So I think it stems from that, where like you have ownership. Imagine if somebody like came into this room right now and told us how to record this podcast or when to end this podcast. We'd feel a certain way about that. I think there are people embedded within the supporters groups who I think with all the validity possible and with all like the right well intentions in the world, feel some kind of ownership over that. And therefore giving that up is kind of a scary thought. Which I think that's fair. That's like a very human thing to feel. Like, I don't think that's inherently bad. But I also think it limits our ability to get super organized the way the Portlands of the world do, the way the Seattle Sounders of the world do, the way the LAFCs of the world do. And I think in the end, it really, like, it does hurt our ability to go support the club to the best of our ability. And that's ultimately, that should be the end goal.
At least in a visual way. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
We support the club just the same, but I think we as a unit...
It's not visible.
Yeah, we as a unit could look and sound better.
I don't think it's unfair to say having four different chants going at any time in the stadium is not a good look. Like, that's a solid critique.
Well, then you can't hear any of them.
Right, right.
Because I was actually... I mean, I was sick for the home opener, so I was at home. And it looked really nice.
The TIFO was dope. TIFO was incredible. Dope. Yep.
And actually, the south end, the safe thing, looked visually very nice.
And when you're in it, it's really cool. It was very clear that it, like, a little more effort, and I think it could be genuinely special.
It just didn't sound, because I also watched the Portland game, and I watched the LAFC game, and I watched, I didn't watch the St. Louis game, but I watched some replays of their fans. Like, you don't get that unified,
right?
Which is the worst. 90
minutes of just that.
Oh my god. But I really don't understand it. But we have a, you know what? The good thing is we have 31 more games.
Yeah.
Weeks to talk about this.
Yeah.
I don't think we should hold this off to the end of the season, honestly. So as I was saying, Mr. Baker and Arizona Nation, we'll do it again later.
That's how you want to leave it?
No, I was trying to make up for the fact that we cut out unexpectedly because of what?
Battery issues.
Baterías.
Yeah.
The baterías.
We're talking about batteries.
Batteries.
We're talking about batteries.
We're not talking about playoffs.
Yeah.
We're talking batteries.
I'm a franchise player and we're talking about batteries.
Batteries.
Yeah.
This is what you get with Microsoft computers.
That being said, we were towards the end of the episode. You were going on about some video nonsense, which we don't really need to talk about. I will wrap it up with the thing we usually wrap it up with when we have a game coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Expectations for scorelines.
So I talked all this crap I just talked about.
Yeah. Well, snow games, missing players, guys needing to step up.
So I feel a little bit of pressure.
I mean,
to give us a positive result.
Yeah.
But if my money was on the line, I wouldn't bet on us this Saturday.
So what's the prediction? I'm not talking money. I'm asking you to predict what you think happens.
1-0 them.
Okay, I'm actually gonna go 1-0 us because I feel like their luck is bound to run out.
I
think the weather will have a say in it, and I think we'll get lucky with the weather. I think it's gonna be to be a little bit of a negative Nancy, I think it will be an undeserved 1-0 win on our part.
Do you remember the last time we made someone else's luck run out against us at home?
The last time we made someone else's luck. I mean, no, but I also don't monitor me someone either. Else. No,
there you go.
I don't like monitor someone else's luck. So
we are the team against whom someone gets their first win.
Yeah.
Or their first goal.
Dude, it was
their
like
first hat trick.
It was like the last year of Jeff Kassar. And literally every game it felt like this Academy product, first MLS start, first MLS goal against RSL.
First MLS hat trick.
Yeah, it was like every week. It was that. Every week. So yeah.
I'm still a victim of that PTSD.
Yeah, yeah. Once bitten, twice shy, as the expression goes. I'm still going to go 1-0 us. And hey, we'll find out this time next week which one of us is correct.
We're both agree there will not be a lot of goals.
No. And I don't think there... But like, it also seems kind of silly because both teams are actually really hurting at center back right now.
Right.
So like, if anything, like you could also make the argument for like a lot of goals. But it's also both teams are not great in the attack. I think they're a little better in the attack than us. I don't know. I'm sticking with my answer. I'm second guessing myself.
Considering all that, it would require us knowing what we're talking about.
Them being a brand new team does kind of make it a little harder.
Yeah.
All right, RSL Nation. It's been a pleasure. We'll be in touch. And hope everyone has a lovely and safe weekend, and dress warm for this Saturday.
Adios.